Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Inyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. As personhood marches across the country, here at Bob Inyart Live, we have interviewed lawmakers and leading activists from Maryland, Colorado, Montana, North Dakota, Georgia, and now personhood Mississippi has exciting news. And for the latest, we go to Les Riley. Les, welcome to Bob Inyart Live.
Thank you, Mr. Inyart. I appreciate you having me on.
Well, it's an honor to have you on, Les, and we're quite a ways from Mississippi, but we're on a 50,000-watt AM radio station here in Colorado. We get into seven neighboring states with our signal, and we've been documenting the efforts to establish personhood, to recognize the personhood of the unborn in states around the country. And so, please, this is the first time we'll be talking about Mississippi. Can you fill us in? We're excited. What's happening down in your state?
All right. Well, what's going on here in Mississippi, we have the opportunity to amend our Constitution by Citizens Initiative and Referendum, and that's the route we're taking. We have a number of moderately pro-life legislators and a handful that would possibly consider introducing a bill like this, but it has never shown any indication that it would even get out of committee.
Right.
So we decided to pursue it by the Citizens Initiative route. And by the way, one negative thing about this, your call screener and the fellow that called set this up both asked me if I was a senator or a representative, and
right.
if y'all are going to accuse me of being in the Mississippi legislature, I'm going to have to take offense.
You're going to take offense, and no, we won't accuse you of that, Les Riley. Here in Colorado, we had our personhood amendment. It was an initiative effort. The sponsor, Christy Burton, she was not a legislator. She's a young homeschool gal, and Colorado Right to Life, American Right to Life, Personhood USA joined forces, and we got 131,000 signatures, got on the ballot, and even though we're in a liberal state that elected a pro-abortion president and U.S. senator, even still, less over 500,000 Coloradans voted for our personhood amendment that had no exceptions to ban all abortions. That's 585,000 voters 40 years after we legalized abortion. And guess what? Your amendment in Mississippi is even better than the amendment we had here in Colorado. Our amendment did not have exceptions. So it was a principled amendment, but your wording is more encompassing, protecting the kids that come into existence through modern technology. Do you have the wording of your amendment in front of you?
I actually don't, but I can tell you what it.
Yeah.
What it says is that for use in section Article 3, Section 2 of the Mississippi Constitution, the term person or persons is hereby defined as all human beings from the moment of fertilization, cloning, or like origin, and then it ends with this bill requires no. Will require no additional funding for implementation.
So let's highlight that key part of the amendment again. The term person or persons shall include every human being from the moment of fertilization, cloning, or the functional equivalent thereof.
That's correct.
And so what you guys are doing, which is very wise, and we were reprimanded here in Colorado by a professor from Georgetown University, Dr. Diane Irving, because our personhood amendment only mentioned fertilization. And she very rightly pointed out that in vitro fertilization clinics are using methods other than joining a sperm and an egg to bring children into existence. And one of those methods is easy for all of us to conceptualize because it's the way twins are formed in the womb, identical twins. You have one sperm, one egg, and the union brings a child into existence. And then some hours or a day later, a cell breaks off of that embryo, and that could grow and become a separate twin. So that separate person did not begin with the union of a sperm and an egg. That's how his brother or sister's life started. And so scientists are attempting cloning and twinning and all different forms of manipulating the organ, the cells, to produce human life. And so we need to protect all those kids, regardless of how they came into existence.
That's exactly right. And that's what we're attempting to do. And we were, you know, we've been talking with Cal Zastro and Keith Mason.
They're with Personhood USA, and they were key in the Colorado effort.
Since we wrote our language and we were aware of the concerns that, that some bioethicists had about not including cloning is why we worded it that way. But also, our attorney is Steve Crampton with Liberty Counsel, and unlike a lot of the more mainstream pro-life and pro-family groups, Liberty Counsel has been on board and been helpful with us from day one and have given us a lot of help. One of the things that Steve did that I think is also very wise, and as other states get involved in this, and they need to look at, we place this bill at the end of our Bill of Rights. And it says, it's basically done there because what Steve said has happened in the past when there's been like a fetal death lawsuit because of a car wreck or something like that. And a state Supreme Court or a lower court has defined a fetus, as they would call it, as a human being. They've also gone on to say, well, it's a human being in this, that, and the other case. But it's not a human being in the case of abortion or in the case of this or that. And so the reason we placed it where it was is, God willing, our bill passes, unborn human beings will have the exact same rights that you and I do under the Mississippi Constitution. Mm. And so it won't allow a court or a crafty legislature to say, well, okay, well, this only means this or that. This means all rights that you and I have be applied equally to all human beings, regardless of their size or location. And that's what
Amen.
We want to try to accomplish with this.
And I'm thankful that Steve Crampton of Liberty Counsel has been helping you. And like you said, from the beginning of this effort in Mississippi, I just want to let you know, Les Riley, that Steve also helped out here in Colorado. Now, there's a battle here that's only just beginning. Our governor signed Senate Bill 200, which is a startling anti-Christian legislative attack. And it literally states in Section 8 of this bill that it's prohibited to publish material. And then, Les, it describes whether it's a pamphlet, a radio ad, a book, it's prohibited to publish material that would tend to discriminate against homosexuals or people cohabitating. And Christian moral teaching tends to discriminate by saying it's wrong. Homosexuality is wrong. Adopting homosexuals, getting married is wrong. And so Steve Crampton is helping us here in Colorado. And please pray for that effort, because it's quite an attack on the Christian worldview.
We will. And Steve and I actually go to church together, and our families are very good friends.
Well, I didn't realize that. Steve Crampton is, what city are you in Mississippi?
Well, I live in a town called Pontotoc. We're near Tupelo, which is about halfway between.
Tupelo, where American Family Association is headquartered.
That's exactly right. And that's actually why Steve was here. He used to be the head of the Center for Law and Policy before they made the decision to close it. So,
well, I didn't realize Steve Crampton was there in Mississippi with you, but since he is, let me add one other thing to his part in our battle against Senate Bill 200. I'd like to quote him. He said, quote, regarding Colorado Senate Bill 200, quote, I do believe that the Bible is banned under the plain language of this new statute. So that's the intensity of the battle against the Christian worldview. And Les Riley, of course, it's God who made us that gives us our right to life. That's why we're in this battle.
Well, and the you know, the key thing for we as Christians to remember, though, is, you know, we can tend, I read an article about Mark Rushton years ago that said, you know, Christians too often think like evolutionists, and what he meant by that is we look at the conditions around us, and we say, well, God can't possibly move now. It's gotten too bad.
Hmm.
You know, this has gone too far, that's gone too far. And, you know, but we're to walk by faith and not by sight.
Amen.
And you know, the fact is that our God is in the business of stepping into history and drastically changing the course of history when things look hopeless.
Our God is in the business of doing that. Of course, he did it in the time of Noah, and he did it in the time of Moses, and he did it in the time of David. But most significantly, he did it in the time of Jesus Christ, when mankind was lost in our sin and God the Son became flesh and took our punishment on the cross and was raised from the dead so we could live forever if we trust in him. So, Les Riley, the God who made the universe is able to bless us if we trust in him.
That's right.
And if we, if we think, if we're defeatist and we think, oh, woe is me, we can never stop child killing, we're like those who said we could never end slavery.
That's right. And if you read Psalm 119:127, it says, it is time for thee to move, O Lord, for they have made void thy law.
Wow.
And that's a, you know, that's kind of a running theme. And the other thing that's been a real theme for us of late, actually the night before we had our first personhood meeting, just so happened in family worship, we were on Nehemiah 1. And Nehemiah 1, as you know, is basically Nehemiah looking at the state of Israel and looking at the state of God's people and the reproach that's come upon God's name. And he's brokenhearted and he's weeping and he cries out to God and he says, deliver us. But then he asks, he says, God, deliver us, and if it would please you, use me. Give me an opportunity. And then, when God answers his prayer, there's a whole lot of tedious, hard work to do. God is pleased to move, but he's oftentimes pleased to move through his people when they're willing to step out on faith and do the things that need to be done. So what we're encouraging people in Mississippi to do is, you know, we have 9 children. Birth children, and we adopted our 10th last year.
Wow, 10 children. The Rileys are raising 10 children. God bless you, Les.
So far, and everything we looked at said we wouldn't be. There's no one family with 9 kids can adopt a child. They're not going to let it. But he's at home now, and we're going to adopt 3 or 4 more, God willing.
Wow.
And if you look at any issue, whether it be, you know, a lot of churches are starting to wake up to the orphan crisis. You know, there's 130 million orphans in the world.
In the world.
Yeah. Wow. About 500,000 in North America. But if you look at any crisis, whether it be education, whether it be child killing, whether it be orphans, whether it be the needs of single mother, if Christians would obey the Scripture and step out and just, you know, in their little area of life, do what they can do, then God will move through that. God is, you know, God does not bless us because of our work, but he is pleased to use our faith and our obedience and our love to him to do mighty things, and no matter what the circumstances
are. Yeah, we give God joy. He rejoices when we humble ourselves before him, honor him, and obey him. That verse, that scripture you referenced, Psalm 119, so we're in the Old Testament, the book of Psalms. There are 150 Psalms in that book. In the 119th Psalm, verse 126, it's the longest chapter in the Bible, verse 126, it is time for you to act, O Lord, for they have regarded your law as void.
That's right.
It is time for, so we turn to God, and throughout history, when atrocities are committed, people cry out to God. And Les Riley, there are many Christians who think, well, of course I'm a Christian, but my job is only to preach the gospel. Well, we need to warn the wicked of their wicked ways. So if you're a Christian and your neighbor runs a business and he's robbing his customers, you need to warn him, as the scripture warns him, that it's wrong to steal. God gets angry if you have diverse weights and measures. You're ripping people off. Well, what if your neighbor is killing their children? Of course, that not only grieves God, but it angers him, and they're storing up wrath for the judgment. And so if your neighbor is a mayor or a governor or a president, and they are advocating, defending, and funding the killing of innocent children, if you have any love for that person, you will warn them and try to stop them from killing innocent children.
Well, as you know, James 1:27 tells us that true religion is to not only keep yourself unspotted before the world, but true religion and undefiled before the Father is to visit the widow and the orphan.
Right.
But if you look back in Deuteronomy 10, it tells us that our God regardeth the cause of the stranger and the orphan and the fatherless. And then he says, love ye therefore the orphan. Love ye therefore the stranger, for you were strangers in Egypt.
Right.
And he's speaking to Old Covenant Israel, who were merely in physical Egypt. Mm. We, who were in spiritual Egypt and who were in bondage,
to
not
slave,
only by our
nature,
but by our choice.
To sin and death. Right.
That, how much more weighty
right.
is the call to love the stranger and the orphan?
So, Les Riley, you know God's word, and that's what excites me about the personhood movement. Unlike the pro-life industry, which has gone the way of secular humanism and moral relativism, the personhood movement constantly points people to Jesus Christ, constantly stands on the word of God. And so many pro-lifers over a period of 30 years have been taught by, for example, National Right to Life, don't mention God, don't quote the Bible, we're going to win this on the laws of science. But the problem with that, Les, is the laws of science don't even use the terms right and wrong.
Right.
By the laws of science, you can't prove that the Holocaust was wrong.
Right.
So right and wrong come from God. And since you know the Bible, the scriptures, Les, I don't know if you remember the story in Deuteronomy 21 or the teaching where God says, if there is a murder and there's a slain body, a corpse, found between two cities, God says something so fascinating. He says in Deuteronomy 21, verse 2, go and measure the distance from the slain man to the surrounding cities. And God said, the city that is closest to that dead body, I'm going to hold them responsible for that murder. And they have to be, for me to forgive them, they have to be able to say, we did not know this murder was taking place. We did not participate. Our eyes did not see it. And God said, if they can say all those things and they're sorry for having a society where murder takes place, I will forgive them. But here, we all know that children are being murdered. And yet so many simply turn their head and they say, it's not my ministry. What if it was the Jews being murdered in Germany and Christians thought, well, we don't want to get involved?
That's right.
What a tragedy. So,
go ahead.
So, Les, this is a lot of fun because when I do talk to one of those legislators, a representative, a delegate, a senator, I think because of our government becoming so secular and being so hostile to God, even the best politicians are very hesitant to give honor to God and talk about him and his word.
Right. And that's a real tragedy. I've got a friend who, an old neighbor who used to say that, it's almost like you're on a battlefield and you've got this sword that you know every time you swing it, it wipes out enemies by the hundreds and by the dozens, and it always hits its mark, and it always accomplishes exactly what it's made for. And the enemy runs up to you, and you pull their sword out, and they say, "I don't believe that sword will cut me," and we put it back in the sheath.
Oh, no.
And that's the way Christians in politics too often treat God's word. You know, one thing we have to remember is, as horrible as child killing is, it is even more horrible when we dishonor our God. Mm. When we as believers don't honor our God, and you know, our pastor was preaching through the Ten Commandments a while back, and he preached on where God says, "You will have no idols before me."
Right.
That doesn't just mean, you know, before me in the sense that we think of
a stone. It doesn't just mean a stone idol or a wooden relic that you worship. It means anything you put your loyalty into other than God.
Yeah, some political party or some political strategy you have is the same way.
Les, there are many Christians who think that the big battle of our age is between Republicans and Democrats. They forget that the battle is between good and evil, between God and those who oppose him. And right. So because they think the battle is between Republicans and Democrats, then when a Republican candidate does something that is immoral or advocates something that is wicked, they still will defend him, and they'll defend what he's advocating because they think the battle's between the Republicans and the Democrats, and therefore they shifted their loyalty from God to a political party.
Some trust in Democrats and some in Republicans, but we will trust in the name of the Lord our God. And that's really, you know, the one encouraging thing that we have to build on is that people are beginning to see the hopelessness of trusting in politics and the hopelessness of trusting in political parties or money or anything like that. Our only hope is to be found in God and loving and obeying Christ. Mm-hmm. And it, as we're involved in politics and as we're involved in the fight to end child killing and various other things, the fight y'all are involved in Colorado, we can have great confidence in the fact that our God is a God who wins battles when his people are loyal to him. Mm. He will strap on his sword, he will strengthen and stick out his strong arm, and he will defeat our enemies. And he will raise us up when we think we have no hope. But it can't be done just merely by, you know, coming up with what we think is the best political strategy and following that.
That's right. We follow the Lord, and he is the commander of the army. And we follow him. We take orders from him. So now, a website, if people are interested, Personhood Mississippi, that's the effort, right?
Right. Personhoodmississippi.com. And, you know, we need 89,285 signatures basically by the 1st of October to be on the ballot next year. And we are trusting that the Lord will honor us and that we will not only get the signatures, but that we will win on the ballot. Mississippi has one of the most pro-life populations in the nation, and they're given an opportunity to vote on it. We trust that God will honor our efforts. But
now,
go ahead. More importantly, we trust that when we go out and we talk to 200,000 or 300,000 Mississippians one-on-one about the humanity of the unborn, that we will see God move in mighty ways.
In Colorado, we had the opportunity to pray with people about Jesus Christ, to teach people right from wrong. We had literally about 200,000 conversations or interactions with people about God being the creator and the right to life of an unborn child. So it's a great ministry, even in the midst of the battle. So Les Riley, how many signatures did you say you need?
89,285.
Okay. Now I have a question for you from American Right to Life. Brian Rohrbaugh is a Columbine dad. His son Danny was murdered at that high school, horrendous crime that shocked the nation. And we have people here in Colorado and in other states who would like to help Mississippi's signature drive, but we want to know, what could people from out of state do if they were to come down and help out?
Well, we need help with the evangelism, with the ministry, with the signature collection. But the thing that's a real sticking point is only Mississippi residents can collect signatures.
Yeah,
that doesn't mean that somebody else couldn't come help. They just couldn't actually be holding the clipboard that collected the signatures.
Right. Well, let me tell you what American Right to Life sent a handful of people to Montana. And they have the same law. I think that's standard in state by state. But this is what they did. They made copies of the petitions at their own expense.
Right.
And they handed the petitions out. Instead of asking for signatures, like at a library or a grocery store, they asked, are you pro-life? Would you help the Personhood Mississippi Amendment effort? Would you take this petition and get signatures? And hundreds of petitions were handed out to people who said, oh, yeah, I heard about that, or I never heard about it. I want to help. So that perhaps we could have a team come down. Maybe we'll gather people in Denver and maybe another city or two and come on down to Mississippi and help out.
Well, we'd love your help, and we'd appreciate anything anyone can do.
All right. Well, we only have a minute left. Les Riley, have you seen the video Focus on the Strategy? It's a pro-life DVD that focuses attention on personhood. And so I know that American Right to Life would like to get a copy of that to you. So could I put you on hold a second and make sure we have your contact information?
Yes, you can.
All right. And if anyone Googles Personhood Mississippi, the very first hit will have the actual amendment and sponsored by Les Riley. And there's a phone number. Could I give out your phone number, Les?
You can.
If somebody wants to support financially or offer some help, 662-760-8695. That's Les Riley, R-I-L-E-Y, 662-760-8695, Personhood, Mississippi, and working with Personhood USA. Les, may God bless you.
You too. Thank you.
All right. What an honor to have Les on the program, and American Right to Life will send him a DVD, Focus on the Strategy, too, and that will be thrilling to get input from Les and his group on that groundbreaking documentary of the failure of regulating child killing and the necessity of supporting the personhood of the unborn. Hey, thanks for tuning in. Maranatha Christian Center, what a great school, and our website is kgov.com.